My question this morning to you on this first Sunday of the new year is this. What are your plans for the new year? The subject this morning is about the new year plans. What are some of your plans for 2022? I'm sure you have some. You didn't enter into a new year without any thought. You may have plans to start something, to grow maybe in a relationship, start a relationship. You may have plans for a new job, to start something new in your workplace, or to continue in a certain way, to end a course of studies, to enter into a course of studies. Maybe you want to buy a house. Maybe you want to move to a new place. Or you have plans to simply to carry on day by day as you have been and see what comes your way. Some plans, some people plan to simply to carry on and to survive, as it were. Now, our text is verse 21 of Proverbs 19. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So here in this verse of the Bible, we are told that the devices or the plans and the thoughts of a man in his heart, and that it is only God's plans that will be done. Now, let me first clarify one or two things, because some people might say, well, so do I not need to plan anything? Do I not need to think about anything? No, that is not what this text is saying. It is not discouraging or forbidding us to plan for things. Because in fact, the Bible says elsewhere that God calls us to plan for our future. It says to prepare to meet thy God, for example. Or even Proverbs 20, the same book, Proverbs, in chapter 21 and verse 5, you read these words. The thoughts, the same word is used here as the word in our text, the devices. Here it's translated as the thoughts in Proverbs 21 and verse 5. Of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. It means that you must plan carefully, and then you will have plenty. That's what it's saying. Plan carefully. And God is saying that you are to be careful what you think about, what you plan for the future. We are also told about looking to the ant who plans things, who works when he should be working. In the summer he's working, when he has opportunity. But then there will come a time of winter and times that he cannot gather in the food. So he says, be mindful of what the ant even does. And but we have to realize that our plans are subordinate to God's sovereign will. God's eternal plan is supreme over all our plans. And so, not all that we plan will come to pass. And there are many things that you don't plan for, but God has a plan in it. And so, there are a number of things that I want to speak about. And there are three things, basically. Your plans, God's counsel, and then God's counsel of salvation. Those are the three things I want us to think about from this text. So look at it again. Verse 21 of Proverbs 19. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Whatever your plans may be, as you plan, consider what God is teaching from this text. Basically, it means that people may plan all kinds of things, but the Lord's will is going to be done. It is God's will that will happen. And that settles our hearts. It should settle our hearts. Because you live in a world that is crazy. The world that is so confused. And you think, what will happen tomorrow? What will happen this year? If you go by the last 2 years, you say, I really don't know. Anything is possible. And anything is possible. But what will happen is God's plan and purpose. That's what is going to happen. And for a Christian, that settles our hearts. God is in control. But for a world that is an unbelieving world, they are frantically trying to save themselves. So now, what do we learn from this text, from God's book about your plan? There are many devices in a man's heart. It's an important teaching here when we come to plan things in our lives. And it is this: unless our plans are part of or according to God's eternal plan, they will not succeed. And so what we should be doing, aligning our will, our plans to God's will and plan. That's what we ought to do. We ought to commit those things to God, because the only thing that always will succeed and the only thing that always will happen is the plan and the will of the Almighty God. And you cannot change that. Now, here is this word in verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. That word devices, it comes from a Hebrew word which means to think of something that you want to do. It means... if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, for example, it will tell you a variety of other meanings. It means a contrivance. It means a texture. It means machine, where we get machination or machination. It's the intention or plan or a plot. And even it is the advice. Our authorized version translates it elsewhere as cunning. You know, when it says about the cunning works that were done by the skilled men, it is the same word that is used here. It's translated as imagination or purpose and thought. So we could read it in this way too. Many are the devices, plans, intentions, machinations in the heart or a mind of a man. So you see, the devices, the intentions, the plans, what are those? They are your thoughts. Your thoughts. Things that are going on in your mind, things that you intend to accomplish or to develop or to get, to obtain. It all goes on where? In a man's heart. You've been thinking about it. You may not even be able to sleep because you are thinking and planning and wondering and worrying about your plans. And it says it happens not just in the mind, it happens in the heart of the man. And friends, what does the Bible mean when it says the heart? The heart is regarded as the center of your life. Your plans are what occupy the center of your life. These are the things that you care about. What do you actually care about? Boys and girls, what do you care about? You parents, what do you actually care about? You who are sitting here, you hear me. What is it that is the center of your life? And you think about it throughout the week. You are motivated in your life to accomplish those things. For instance, we read that parable, didn't we? The parable of what we call the rich fool. A parable which illustrates the sin of covetousness that the Lord Jesus was speaking of in that context. And here we have a man who is rich. Well, is anybody here poor? No. All of us are here who we, in the comparison with the most people in this world, we are actually rich. You are here, you've got clothes. You did not sleep on the street last night, did you? You have eaten every single day of your life. You have had food to eat, or at least in the past year. But we have all, in comparison, we are rich people. But are we foolish rich people? Like this man. Are we covetous? That's the teaching there. You see, this man, he made many plans. He was planning things. What was he planning? What was it that occupied his heart and mind? It says in Luke 12 and verses 18 and 19, and he, the rich fool, said this will I do. That's my plan. I'm going to do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. You see, God had blessed him with fruit, with a great harvest. And he said, that's what I'm going to do, to pull the old ones down, build the greater ones, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. All of it I'll keep for myself. That's the point here. I'm going to keep it for myself. I don't think about anybody else. I won't think about the glory of God. I have none of those things in my head. I just keep it for myself. And I will say to my soul, I'll carry on talking to myself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. So I'm thinking about my future. Oh, it's all paid for. If I lose my job, if I don't have any more harvest in the years to come, I've got everything I need. So I can have an early retirement now, and now I can take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what I can do. That's my plan. Now, it is not an evil thing to be rich. As I said, all of us are rich. There have been some of God's choicest of people who were blessed with riches. Abraham, what a rich man. Job, how rich he was, even at the end of his life. And even though our Lord Jesus Christ said that the love of money is the root of all evil, it didn't say money is the root of all evil. Money is God's blessing, but it's the love of it. And that's the problem with this, the rich fool. He loved it. His problem was covetousness. You see, he had planned about getting a bigger barn, build more, but in all of his planning, he forgot to plan to be ready to meet God. He didn't calculate that actually he may never have time to build his barn. He never calculated that he needs to face God very soon, sooner than he thinks. Even that night, he didn't realize that. He didn't plan God, you see, in his calculations. He might have been to church on a Sunday morning. Oh, yes. But the rest of the week, he was living practically like an atheist. He didn't pray about the matter. He didn't intend to do things so that God would be honored and maybe give to those who are needy. He didn't plan any of those kinds of things. It was done for himself. It was done for his own family, no one else. But he didn't even think about his own soul. He talked to himself, but he didn't recognize that his soul is so precious that he couldn't buy his soul with any price, or he couldn't feed his soul with any of his possessions. He was a spiritual person. He didn't think about that. He didn't think that his soul will be required that night before God, that he was to give an account. Do you know that's the case with us too? It's the case with us. Do you put God in your calculations? Do you pray about things when you are planning things, when you are thinking about things? I'm going to make this decision. This is going to happen. How can I use my money in this way? What stuff I should study? Do we commit these things to God and to wait on God until we have a clear answer? Or we just say a quick prayer and just go ahead with it anyway? Is that the way we deal with things? Sadly, I fear that we often do such things. But then we read in verse 20 of Luke 12, but God said unto him, this is what God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So all of these things you've got, whose will they be when you've gone? You see, he was holding on to these things, thinking that they identify him. My friends, the things you own, they don't identify you. They don't. But what we have in Jesus Christ is what will be your identity. So do you plan for this new year to include God? And does God and his word, his will, are included in your thoughts? What if this will be your last year? What if this this time next year you will not be here. Are you prepared to give an account of your soul before God? Sometimes we read of people seeking refuge in another country. They only can take a bag with them. They can only take a suitcase with them. And all their life's belonging is in that suitcase. Imagine having to flee like that and having to make that choice. This is the thing I will take. This is the thing that is important for me. And I will take that. But my friends, when you appear before God, you will not have anything but your soul and your life. What you have done with Christ. What you have done with the life that God has blessed you with. That is the thing that you will take with you before God. And you have to take that into calculation when you're thinking about your education. You won't be taking any of those things with you. You won't take your money. You won't take your sports. You won't take your car. You won't take your achievements. You won't take your social media profile. You won't take your friends with you. No, they may come to your funeral, but they won't come with you to appear before God. You won't take any of your travels and holidays and where you have been. All that will be burnt up like wood, hay, and stubble, the scripture says, except anything out of those things that were done for Christ's honor and glory. So what will you take? What's your plan for this year? Do they include God? And I'm challenging you and challenging myself. Have I included God in this planning or no? Am I committing everything to God in prayer? Or am I any better than that rich fool who was to lose his soul that night? Now, the second thing is this, God's counsel. So we've had our counsel, your counsel, but what about God's counsel? There are many devices in a man's heart, verse 21. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The rich fool that we thought about in Luke 12 was selfish, was greedy. He had that greedy plans. But listen to what God said again. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. He was thinking, he had devised things in his mind, what he will do, but ultimately, God's counsel, that stood. That word counsel, in the Hebrew, it comes from a Hebrew verb that means to determine. It's also translated elsewhere in our authorized version as a purpose. The purpose of God, the counsel of God. We could say, as theologians would put it, the decree of God. That stands. You see, the scripture says that before the foundation of the world, God has already determined that which must happen. So we are not living in a world that haphazardly things are happening. No, no, no. We are not living in a world of accidents. To us, they are accidental. But from the mind of God, he's decreed all things into being. Now, can we understand it? No, not at all. It's mind-boggling, but it's the teaching of the scriptures. And so we believe it. And so we call this doctrine, this teaching, the eternal decree or counsel of God. That's why it stands. And let me give you this analogy from scriptural teaching, that before the creation of this universe, the three persons of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they met to have a council meeting, as it were. And in that meeting, they made a plan in eternity past, before there was a time, a perfect plan that must take place. And so there, here is my point. Unless our plans are part of God's eternal plan, they will not succeed. That's why you have to align yourself, what you think, what you want to do, with the Word of God. Does it glorify God or not? So what you have in this text, you read it again, you have actually three differences in this text. Three differences in this text. Read it again. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The names are different. The names of how this purpose and device is used, is they are different. It's called man's devices and God's counsel. Man's devices, man's imaginations, your plans, my fancies, my dreams. But his counsel, there is the eternal counsel and purpose of the Almighty and Sovereign God. Another thing, the second difference is this. Their numbers are different. Ours are referred to as devices in plural. You see, there are many devices in a heart, in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord. God's counsel is just one. That's why we say the decree of God, the eternal decree of God. Our plans, our schemes, you see, they are various. They're more than one. And they can so easily change, haven't they? Haven't you been disappointed? Something you have planned for, it never happened. And then you plan another thing. And then when you look back, you see to yourself, how many things that I intended to do, and I've even forgotten all about it, unless I've written it down. You think about your prayers. How many prayers did you pray? You know, 8 years ago, you prayed for this and that and the other thing. And you have even forgotten. I'm talking about myself too. We've even forgotten that we prayed about it and God answered it. So we have plans too, and we forget them easily. We change them. But God's glory and honor is this, that his counsel and decree is one and unchangeable. It's what we call immutable counsel. With God, there is no plan B. There is no afterthought to correct the errors of his first counsel. He doesn't keep changing himself and saying, well, I'll just test this. Does it work? As one who used to do computer programming, we would write a program to see if this will work on this computer, and then we would see it would bring up error messages. So then we would make some adjustments, and then we would try again, run it again. It will give you error messages, and you keep doing it, trial and error, to fix things, and you think through how you wrote something. That's not how God works, no. So the numbers are different, and then the names of them are different. But then you think about the efficacy are different as well. The devices in the man's heart, he plans it, he thinks about it, he dreams it, but we cannot make them stand. We can't guarantee them that they will happen. We always, naturally speaking, we hope for the best. And we plan things and say, oh, I'm sure it will happen. And then it never happens. And what do we do then? But the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Your plans may or may not happen, but the purpose and plan of God will be sure. So let me ask again, do you have plans for this year? Plans that are right now occupying your mind and heart? What are they? Well, remember this. Before you were even born, God had already made a plan for you. And unless your plans are compatible with his eternal plan, your plans will not prosper. Maybe you have plans to, maybe somebody, I don't even know, you might plan to get married. Maybe you plan to make your relationship to grow in some way. Maybe you have plans to have more children. Maybe you have plans to go to move from secondary school to college or university. You plan for something to do with your work. You're planning to buy a house. But at the beginning of this year, God may say to you this night, your soul is required of you. You might get sick. You might die before the year 2022 ends. Now, this is all sounding very gloomy. I don't want to scare anybody. No, no. But I'm simply telling you the truth. So that when you plan, you will commit your plans to the Lord, so that when you, you're always ready before God. Because unless the Lord blesses your plans, they will fail. The rich fool did not commit his plan to God. He did not even involve God in his thoughts. His thoughts was that his plans are a wiser plan. And so he became wise in his own eyes. Well, the Bible says this in the same book, Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through to 7. I'm sure those of you who've read your Bibles, you know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Are you a wise planner or a foolish planner like the rich fool? Learn to always qualify your plans. Learn to always, from the heart, not just through your tongue, but from the heart, always to have this commitment, this conviction, and to be able to say, if the Lord wills, I will live and do this or that. That's from James 4:15. Learn to pray like the Lord Jesus. What did the Lord Jesus pray in the hour of his need? Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will in my life. I want your will to be done, not mine. And this ought to be our prayer as we plan. Father, I desire thy will to be done, not mine, because I know thy will is always for my good and for the glory of thy name. So that is God's plan. God's plan is one. But thirdly, let me say a few words about God's counsel of salvation. The decree of God, this plan of God to take effect in everything, it comes to us, we could divide it up in three things, three ways that God works. He has, first of all, the works of creation. He works in the creating this world. And then it's the work of his, we could say, providence, which means when he sustains and directs and guides and provides. That's what providence is. And then the third thing is the work of grace, the work of salvation, in how he has made a way to save this rebellious and sinful world. And this is what I want us to concentrate on to finish with. The counsel of the Lord shall stand in the way that he has provided for us sinners a way to have forgiveness of sins. Do you have forgiveness of sins? Well, there is a way for you to know forgiveness of sins. There is a way to know if you have received eternal life. And God comes to us from the Bible and tells us about it. And ministers, faithful ministers of the gospel, they preach about it and proclaim. What is this? This plan of salvation, the work of grace, is the gospel of Jesus Christ in that how God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And you know, the Apostle Paul preached this gospel message to those, for example, in Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus, and in Acts 20 and verse 27, he calls the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ the whole counsel of God, he calls it. So the gospel is the whole counsel of God. And it is the best advice, we could say, the best counsel to us, because it comes from our judge and our God. This gospel, this good news that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners like us, it stands the test of time, and it has stood the test of time. He's been sent into this world on a rescue mission, the cost of his own precious blood and life. This plan of this counsel of God in salvation is this, that he would suffer, Jesus would suffer, that he would die and to receive the full punishment instead of us sinners. The decree of God, this counsel of God, is that a people will be saved and become the true children of God. And God will show them grace and mercy. And the way that they receive This grace and mercy is by the means of repentance from sin and trusting in Jesus Christ and his finished work. That's the counsel of God to you this morning. And that is what we preach. This is what we have to bring before our eyes day after day. It is when I, a poor sinner, cry out to God, Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, show mercy to me. Be merciful unto me. Then it is that God has counseled that he will save a sinner like that. When I see my awfulness of my sin, and when I hate it, when I sorrow after it, and turn to Jesus Christ to pay the price of that sin for me, that debt that I owe to God. The counsel of God says that through repentance and faith of those who truly trust only, not in their works, but on Jesus Christ, they receive pardon. When I look to Jesus, when I go to the cross and remember he was my substitute, then I receive him as Lord and Savior. And so the command and the counsel of Jesus Christ is this. This is what he preached. Repent and believe the gospel. And that's what is the counsel of God to you today. The counsel of salvation to you and me. That counsel will stand. You can always trust that. You can depend on it. Till you die, it will not change this message of salvation. It's not going to change at all. And that is what is the difference, you see, between true Christianity, some false forms of Christianity. We are not talking about ritualism. We are not talking about being like Pharisees who had great robes and all sorts of outward things. It is something very personal that must take place between you and God through Jesus Christ. And that will not change. It won't be diluted. It won't fade away. God's plan to save sinners will stay the same. Till the last one who will trust in Christ will be saved. So if you are praying to that end, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you're praying, Lord, I want to be in Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a fake Christian. I don't want to be an unbeliever. But if you're praying and desiring sincerely in accordance to God's counsel, And simply, but genuinely, putting your faith in this person, Jesus Christ, and what he has done, then God's promise to you is that that will stand. That will be true to you. He will save. So whatever plans you have this year, friends, let's commit them to the Lord. Let's humbly acknowledge that he is in control of everything. Let's not give in to fear. Someone noted this, and I quote, Livingstone planned to go to China, but God led him to Africa to be a missionary. Alexander McKay prepared to work in Madagascar, but was directed to Uganda to aid in funding one of the most remarkable missions in the world. William Carey proposed to go to South Sea, but was guided divinely to India to give the Bible in their native tongue to its teeming millions. You see, God knows what is best for us. And so let's learn to submit to his eternal and wise and perfect will. If you are doing the will of the Lord, wherever you are in the best place. Even though your ship might crash, if you are in the Lord's will, you'll be like the Apostle Paul who then swam to the shore. It didn't stop the purposes of God. But if you are not in the will of God and you are doing your own thing, you will be like Jonah, who was swallowed by the whale, who did his own thing, and still he had to go back to Nineveh. Still the purposes of God was fulfilled. And remember too, as someone has said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Charles Spurgeon said this, and with this I finish. We have seen men with money who were not happy. And we have seen men with honor who were not happy. We have seen persons in power with the command of empires who were not happy. But we never saw and never shall see the individual who has Jesus with him that is not happy. And this happiness is the joy of salvation. Well, friends, here is the text then for this morning. There are many devices in a man's heart, but praise God, Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall